All right, Norm maniacs, Normophiles, Normnathians, friends, Romans, countrymen.
That's enough, Tony!
Aw. This episode is filled with congestion for the ears, both literal and some jokes that make you say, huh? It's a dumb birthday game from April 9th, 1994, and I've titled it, Would You Care for a Lozenge? The Players. Carrie or Kerry in Fort Wayne, Indiana? I'm gonna go with Kerry. Kerry's dad, John from Bridgewater, Mass. Mary from the South End. Lynn in Carver. Or was it Carver in Lynn? I'm on the phone from parts unknown. Emilio Morata producing and playing in studio. And Jack Hart in traffic. The birthdays? Michael Learned, Hugh Hefner, Avery Schreiber, Dennis Quaid, Carl Perkins, Tom Lehrer, and then we have a dead birthday. Only this time we guess in what year the person died. That was W.C. Fields. Episode 231, Would You Care for a Lozenge? Gurgles its way to your ears. Now.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Norm. How have you been?
I've been just as well. Isn't that nice of you to care enough to ask? Now, where are you in Indiana?
Fort Wayne.
Fort Wayne, Indiana, one of my favorite cities in the entire country, next to Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I was listening earlier, and I heard that a lady was from South Bend. That's not too far from here.
Oh, yeah, and we had a lady who lives here who just moved here.
From Virginia?
From South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
I should have matched both of them up. Maybe they would have known each other back in South Bend days. Is Fort Wayne smaller than South Bend or bigger?
I think it's bigger. I think a little bit. Yeah.
Now, what do you do out there? You sound very young. Are you a student?
Yep. I'm in high school. I'm only 16.
Oh, are you? Yep. Well, listen, it's nice to talk with you.
Nice to talk to you. My dad should be on the air. He's on the air. He's in Bridgewater. He's back there in Massachusetts.
Oh, he works here?
No, he's going to be playing with us. At least I think he is.
Oh, his name is John. I see.
John, is he on the...
Let's get him on the air. John, is that you, John?
Yeah, I'm here, Norm.
Okay, now you're in West Bridgewater, and your daughter's in Indiana.
Yeah,
what's going on here?
I am in Bridgewater.
What is this, the breakup of the American family, or what?
She woke me up and called me and told me to play the game with you.
That's delightful. Now, what are you doing in West Bridgewater?
I'm in Bridgewater.
Oh, and just plain Bridgewater?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, not West Bridgewater.
No, just plain Bridgewater.
Well, I cross out the W then, because I like to keep accurate records just for the WBZ Hall of Fame thing, you know.
Yeah,
okay, well, that's great. We'll see which one. You're separate, so you can't cheat or anything.
No, I have no idea what she's going to be guessing.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay, we have Mary, who is in the South End. Hey, Mary.
Hi.
How nice you said that. Just like a nice lady.
Well, thank you.
Have you played the game with us before?
Never.
So this is an exciting. I imagine the blood just must be pouring through your veins. The heart must be beating. You must be so excited. You must be broken out in a sweat. Either that or you don't really care at all.
Oh, yes, I do care. It's very exciting.
Well, thank you very much. And we're going down to the town of Carver, down near the Plymouth area. And Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, what a nice voice that is. I think I've...
Tristan's
friend. Are you a friend of Tristan?
I'm his mother.
Oh, you're his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. Because I saw Tristan. Would you turn the radio down, if you would, please? Because we're getting some feedback on that.
Oh, mine's not on.
Oh, whoever's is on. If you would turn it off, I'd appreciate it. I forgot your last name. Is it Walsh?
Yes.
Okay, now your son was at the Massasoit during the old radio day thing that we had, a little kind of a tribute to old radio time.
Yeah.
And he decided you would be better to be on than him, apparently.
Well, actually, Tristan likes to sleep.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because I asked him at that time, I said, would you mind if we called you then at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, he wouldn't mind at all.
He wouldn't mind. He just went to sleep, and the heck with it. Hey, I'm delighted to talk with you, Lynn.
You too.
You sound like you have a very nice son. He's okay.
Yeah, he's okay.
Okay. We have Tony, Tony Nesbitt.
Hello, Norm.
Hello, Tony.
Toweling the sweat from my brow.
Yeah, hey, listen, when do we play the musical quiz thing? When is it?
The music quiz. The music quiz will be on Thursday night, Friday morning.
Next Thursday night.
About 12:30. We have a guest at midnight. And then at about 12:35 or so.
Okay, because you'll be playing, and Linda
and
Chase
Mullen,
will
yeah.
be, who does our theme music and stuff, and Ed Mullen.
Yeah.
And are you here that night?
Yes, I'll be there.
You'll be here, and Emilio, will you be here?
No, I'll be
there. You're not going to be here. Okay.
Mike Epstein, I should be there.
Oh, Mike Epstein may be here. Anyway, you'll have to listen so that next time you can be on. This has, do you know much about music, Emilio?
Modern music, not...
No, we do rock, we do all kinds of music.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah? Well, that we'll have to do that the next time, then. Yeah, because we embrace all kinds of music, you see.
Hey, Norm?
Yeah?
Kerry and John visited us in the studio.
Oh, that's now. Right, that's right. I remember when they
were. Let's remind you
Oh, they were both adorable people.
And when are we going to win a Peabody? Why don't you submit the birthday game to one of these award banquets or something? What?
I don't know. All I know is...
And the news awards and storm coverage. What about the Norm Nathan show?
I don't understand that, no, and obviously Emilio doesn't understand that either.
You know, the stupid music quiz thing, the dumb birthday game.
I know it. And this past night, let me get the program for this thing at Massasoit.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. They have this thing, the Ken Meyer Award. Ken used to work here and then did a show on EEI with the Radio Classics. They have an award they give to people, so a plaque is placed in the FM studio down on Massasoit. Last year it was Gay Vernon, who's a news lady. And this year it's Jess Kane. I don't even see me coming up for that.
Oh, that's interesting. Everyone who's not in radio anymore.
Is she not in radio either?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know how to... I don't know, but I'm not. I want to tell you something. I'm not a sore loser.
I know. You know what we should do?
Just because they don't know what the hell they're doing.
I know.
And going around making stupid awards to ridiculous places.
I've got the
answer. I'm not upset about it.
But I've got the answer.
Yes?
We'll create the Norm Nathan Award, and you'll be the first recipient.
I'll be the only recipient.
That's right. We'll close down shop and see you later.
Yeah, and the next year, after I get the award the first year,
yeah.
I'll get it again the second year, because we will find nobody worthy enough, so we'll give it to me again.
Sure, why not? You can win it again. Just because you won it once doesn't mean you can't win it again.
That's right.
We'll get some giant trophy made up, one of those six-tier trophies with, some eagle soaring, screaming on the top. Big broadcast award, sure.
Tony, so we should start taking donations now, soliciting donations at this very moment.
Oh, no. We'll dig up the... I'll pay for it myself if I'm going to get the award.
Oh, okay.
You know what I would like it to be? I'd like it to be a life-size statue of myself, molded in maybe like a
chopped liver,
pecan fudge.
Whoa!
Oh, that'd be something
that
nice.
That would be nice.
That would be nice, and we could eat it at room temperature. Okay, let's see. We also have playing the game with us. This is more fun than actually playing the game, so
it is.
We're delaying it for the start of the game because of inclement weather or something. Anyway, Jack Hart, how you doing, Jack?
I'm well. You people are all coveting a Peabody, but did you know those of us here at the VZ 24-Hour Traffic Network have won a Danvers, a Woburn, and a South Hadley?
Wow.
Congratulations.
No, I didn't know. What is that exactly?
Oh, I don't know.
Peabody.
Oh, I see. Danvers. I'm sorry.
Norm.
I thought you should have.
He almost covered the North Shore there with a few towns, and you still didn't get it.
If they had won a Marblehead award, or something of that nature.
Middleton or a
Gloucester.
No, Marblehead, I was thinking more of a description of the intelligence, you see.
Well, we have our marble head right in the window, and every morning when the sun comes up, light dawns on it.
That is just so wonderful.
Wasn't that
just so sweet. You know what I thought we could have for the best? We could have awards for the best traffic reporters, and it could be called a hubby. It would be a hubcap, kind of a hubcap mounted on a... Some kind of
the hubby.
Pedestrian, yeah.
Someone's going to take off with that, Norm. Someone's going to steal that from you, and sure enough, you're going to see it next spring.
Oh, it'll show up. It'll show up on the Matt Siegel show. I mean, I know. I know how these things work. Either that or Charles Lackadaire will use it. You know how
That's
they
right.
are.
You're, yep. Stern will be using it because he listens to this show for material for Monday.
Sure.
Monday morning. Oh, yeah.
You mentioned that name, Tony. Norm's seething over there.
I know. Howard Stern. Everybody gives him publicity, and I don't see any reason we have to do that.
Well, no, I'm just saying. We know he listens to the show.
No, I know that, but we don't have to mention that.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't say his first name. I just said his last name. I could have meant Diane Stern.
David Stern, commissioner of the NBA.
That's see?
That's true. Or Isaac Stern, the violinist.
Exactly, and that's what you thought.
Yeah, yeah. You could have. I never thought of that. Okay.
What's your first birthday? No.
I think it's about. Oh, and Emilio, my Murata, of course, our producer is here and playing the game with us too.
Hello.
And what does that say on your T-shirt? Is that a plug? It's a plug for a food company.
That's actually, remember Kiko from California? Kiko, who played the game with us a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's actually his family's restaurant's chain out there.
Oh, Salazar?
Salazar's Mexican food.
And it's a chain out in the Los Angeles area?
San Diego.
Lovely town. Lovely. Oh, my second hometown. I forget what my first one is. I think it's Fond du Lac, Wisconsin again. Anyway, let's see. Here are the birthdays today. Today, April 9th, is the birthday of Michael Learned, who, as you know, is a woman. And one heck of a woman, let me tell you. I just said that. That's right. I did interview her once. She played the mother on the Waltons TV series, and she won 3 Emmys for that. She's been on a number of other things, but I guess always will be remembered as the mother, Mother Walton.
And she's very smart, too.
Wasn't she a nurse?
She is very learned. Is that what you mean?
Oh, very good. Hey. Thank you very much, Norm.
I'm starting to catch on to your fakakta humor. Okay, Carrie, how old do you think Michael Learned is? You know who she is? Can you picture her in your mind?
No, I don't know who she is, but I'll guess 53.
53, okay. And Mary. Mary.
Yeah.
Norm, I wish we had the Notre Dame fight song, so every time you spoke to Mary, we could just blare it in the background.
That would be just so nice, wouldn't it? And probably a little bit irritating, but not a bad try. Now, I like to say the name Mary.
Yeah.
How old do you think Michael Learned is?
I think she's maybe 50.
Maybe 50. We'll put down 50 then, mm-hmm. And we'll make that firm. John.
I will say 64.
John says 64, while his daughter said 53. There's obviously some discord in this family. It's not as happy and pleasant as you would think. And I think we'll get to the bottom of this until they're both screaming at each other before this program is out. Or my name ain't Steve Ballesteros.
Sebby?
I don't know. Anyway, Lynn, what do you think?
I think maybe around 58.
You wouldn't want to wake up your son, would you, and ask him? No, you don't have to do that. Okay.
I could.
Well, he's going to all right to sleep through all of this. This is merriment. We're having merriment.
There you go. He's too young for this.
No, he's too young for merriment.
There you go.
But Carrie is not, because she's wise beyond her years. Tony, what do you say?
Ma Walton, huh?
Ma Walton, yes. Yeah.
60. You know, I'm going to have to agree with that 64 that John said.
64, yeah. Same as John said. Okay.
Wow, she's old, huh?
Jack,
oh, sure.
Jack Hart, what do you say?
I think that she was younger than Mrs. Walton. 56.
56. Okay, and Emilio, what do you think?
I like Mike. I'm going to go with 55.
I like Mike. I'm going with 55. That's Mike for Michael Learned. A lot of times we have to sort of translate what it is you're saying. Okay, actually, she is 55 exactly.
Yes.
Wow.
Very good.
Yes, you're right, Jack. Yeah,
she was really quite young when she did the Walton. She was... How long ago was that? Was that on the air? That
must be off 70s? The air. Must be off the air a good 12 years or more.
Okay, so she was actually only in her early 40s at that time. And Hugh Hefner has a birthday today.
Huh.
Founder of Playboy magazine, which he originally wanted to call Stag. Excuse me while I clear my throat. I often do that when I'm on an intimate date. I clear it like that. Excuse me, honey. I'd like to kiss you and hold you in my arms, but let me clear my throat first, okay, baby?
Thank God we reinstalled
the protective. Yeah, so that usually ends. It usually leaves the, she leaves the hotel room and races back to her car. I'm making my life more interesting than it really is, which is really a nothing. Anyway, he wanted to call the magazine Stag Party. Playboy's first Playmate of the Month was Marilyn Monroe.
Huh.
But she was called the Sweetheart of the Month at that time on his... Oh, it lists his birthday. It says on his something birthday, he and his wife... Well, I'll tell you, on his 64th birthday, Hugh and his wife, ex-playmate Kimberly, became parents of Marston Glenn Hefner, who incidentally has a birthday on the same day as his dad. His birthday is April 9th also. He's the little, the son of the Playboy magazine founder. We can try guessing his age, too, I suppose.
How old is he?
Well, see, I don't want to tell you.
He's trying to get me in a trap,
but I happen to be a pretty wily old poop, and I don't fall for that kind of stuff, you know? That's why I managed to stay alive as long as I have. Anyway, Emilio, how old do you think Hugh Hefner is?
Well, hold on, Norm. Let me squeegee off the protective plexiglass from your clearing of the throat, and I'll say that Hugh Hefner is 68.
68. Okay, and Jack?
69.
69. Tony?
69.
And Lynn?
70.
Okay, what do you think, John?
71.
71.
Actually, I want to change my answer.
You always want to change.
No, I do. I want to drop it to 68.
You want to drop it to 68?
Yeah.
Can you give me a good convincing reason why I should
because
do that?
Because I don't think it's been 5 years since...
Now you're setting a dangerous precedent here.
Yeah, I tell you what,
since she's had the baby, I don't picture the kid being 5 yet.
It's one thing if he wanted to change it to his own answer, but he wants to steal my answer.
Was yours 68?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even realize it. That's how much I'm paying attention to you, Emilio.
Just like us back here. Okay, Jack, did you want to change it to 68?
Yeah, please, yeah.
I'll let you do that. Anybody else want to change theirs who have guessed so far? Okay, then we'll go on. The next order of business, Article 3. On petition of the Board of Selectmen, I'm lapsing into my Tom Moderator role. But you're off in the... No,
that
went to
a Peabody, that role.
What's that, please?
You've played that nonstop for how many years now?
Since 1978.
That must be a record or something, isn't it?
No, we've had people, moderators, for like 250 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you might have beat out the old Sheer Madness record with that play.
No, I plan to keep running, however, for this political office because it is a wonderful gift given to me by the people of my town. The wonderful people... I'm sorry, you can tell I'm up for re-election this year. Anyway, Mary, how old do you think Hugh Hefner is?
65.
How much?
65.
Okay, and Carrie?
I'll go with Mary. I'll say 65. Too.
65 also. Actually, 68 is the correct answer.
Yes.
I mean, did you do homework on this, Emilio, by any chance?
I did not. No, Norm. No. The gods are shining on me.
Listen to the grin in his voice. What a liar.
Well, you're the other winner, Tony. I wouldn't rub his nose in it.
I didn't win the last one, though. I mean, he's got both of them exactly right. So.
Exactly right. I know. It makes
so
it
rub
suspicious.
His nose in it.
Yeah, that's a suspicious. The son, by the way, Marston Glenn Hefner. He's four years old.
I told you I didn't think he was 5 yet. Yeah.
Norm, I'm not going to stand for this berating like that Rob took last week because he had such a fine performance. I will stand up for myself.
Oh, you can't do that because you're going to be beaten down. Those are the rules.
So sit up.
Yeah. If you can't stand the insults, then get out of the dining room or whatever, however that goes. Avery Schreiber.
What?
Avery, the comic comedian, he was with the Second City. He was with Jack Burns. His first partner was George Carlin. Did they do a show out of Boston? I know George Carlin had a radio show in Boston there for a while. And I thought Avery Schreiber did, too. I'm not sure. But his first partner was George Carlin, and then later Jack Burns. He did some funny bits. He was the cab driver. And Burns, Jack Burns, was the passenger with a heavy New England accent, Boston accent. And anyway, funny stuff. He's done a lot of commercials and some straight acting.
They had a summer replacement show on, back in the late 1800s. But, yeah, they did.
Burns and Schreiber.
Burns and Schreiber.
I know those names. I'm trying to. I just
big heavy guy with a big heavy guy with a big old mustache. He looks sort of like who's that? The movie review.
The movie.
Gene Shalit.
That's right.
Bad Night.
That's right. He does. He looks a lot like Gene Shalit. After his intelligence has been surgically removed, and away, because he always plays naughty characters, but he's a bright man and a good man. You would like him. If you knew him like I know him, you would love him. You'd say, what a good man.
If you knew Avery like I
know. Okay, let's start with Lynn down in down in Carver, actually. How old do you think Avery Schreiber is, Lynn?
I remember him from, like, Ed Sullivan. Maybe 74.
You know something, Lynn? You have the kind of voice that is so romantic, and I think of candlelights and wine and soft music and clearing my throat. Okay. I feel better now.
I'm glad you like my voice.
What's that?
I said, I'm glad you like my voice.
No, I do. It's a lovely voice.
Oh, thank you.
Are you a lovely-looking person, too? Are you as lovely-looking as your voice sounds? And that is a stupid question.
You have a way with the women, Norman. Hey, you as good as you sound. You're just not a knock-em on it.
Tony, I'm steaming up here. Jeez. The rivulets of sweat.
You'll have to come out and hear me sing.
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
You'll have to come out and hear me sing.
Do you sing?
I do.
No kidding. Now, you sing professionally?
When they will pay me, sure.
No, but I mean, do you sing in clubs and stuff?
Yes.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. What kind of stuff do you sing?
Mostly blues.
Like what? What songs?
Songs that you'd recognize. Well, I've sung country western, Patsy Cline, that kind of stuff.
Oh, what happened to the blues?
I sing blues, but I don't know if you'd recognize.
Well, name one, because we're terribly hip.
Stormy Monday.
I sing a lot of Coco Taylor and Etta James.
Etta James? I love Etta James.
Mm-hmm. She's going to have to sing for us, Norm, right now.
Yeah, you want to sing a couple of songs?
Not a couple of songs,
a couple of lines of a song? Maybe a word or two, a syllable. Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay, we'll ask Mary how old you think Avery Schreiber is. And I understand you're a professional poet. You read poetry.
I do.
I just made that up.
Well, I'd love to be a professional poet because I do love poetry. I saw Avery Schreiber out at a Raffles Auditorium at St. Mary's in a skit where he laughed about an organ grinder or somebody, and it was interesting. I think he's about 58.
That was the most interesting way of arriving at that number I've ever heard. That was really something.
74. Wow.
So we have a divergence of opinion. Let's ask Emilio, because he's probably cheating and probably knows the answer.
Now, what is this gentleman's name?
Avery. Avery.
Oh, I'm sorry.
As in a hotel you probably never heard of. There was a big hotel in Boston called Hotel Avery.
I drove down Avery Street today.
That's right. It exists, but the hotel does not. It's a big parking lot now.
It's a big parking lot.
I'm sorry. I was confused. His name with the bird sanctuary.
Avery, oh, jeez. You not only tell bad jokes, but you're illiterate and picking the wrong words. You're talking about aviary, but you're close enough, I suppose.
Yes. You see how I could make that mistake?
Yeah, I certainly sure could see that.
I thought maybe he was the brother of the guy that'll dip your car for $99, Earl.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, how old is Avery Schreiber, now that we've gotten past the wild, uproarious humor of this?
Well, let me see, 58, and what was the other guess? 74?
Uh-huh.
68, 16, 8, 58, 6, 66.
Right in the middle there.
Split him down the pike.
Uh-huh. Okay. Tony, what do you say?
Was he on Ed Sullivan? at one time?
I don't know. He's been on a lot of shows, but I don't recall Ed Sullivan. He may have been. I don't know.
Jack, does it go back that far?
Sure.
Byron Burns, I mean, when you say it like that.
Yeah, oh, sure. Well, Jack Burns used to be the Barney's replacement on the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, yikes. Okay.
Oh, wow. Well, right.
You know, they're George Collins contemporaries from the early 60s.
Okay.
I didn't know that. No, geez, that could have been helpful.
What do you see?
Oh, 71.
And Carrie, what do you say?
I'll say 66.
66 also.
Oh, they're trying to rob me.
John, what do you think?
How about 61?
61, says John. And Jack?
60.
60. Okay, I would say we have, let me see, we have a few winners here now, because Avery Schreiber will be 59.
Oh, geez.
Or is 59 today. And so Jack said 60, and Mary said 58. So you're both 1 year off on either side. And so that we have the two winners there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Emilio still leads with two and one apiece for Jack, Tony, and the very lovely Mary.
Hey, Carrie, we're not drunk
of it.
I know.
Okay, how about Dennis Quaid? Who's the brother of...
Randy
Quaid. Yeah, Dennis is the young... I don't know whether he's younger than Randy.
He looks
young. He's better looking. He's more of the leading man, and Randy's the kind of the character type, kind of the hillbilly... The stupid hillbilly type.
Is married a lot to Meg of Ryan, right?
Married to Meg Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Okay. One of the luckiest guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, maybe she's a tough cookie to live with. You don't know.
Okay. That's a tough cookie I could live with.
Exactly.
Sure.
You know, looks don't mean anything after you've been married for a while. My wife used to say that a lot of times. Anyway, Dennis Quaid appeared in such movies as The Right Stuff, Big Easy. That was with a woman I think is extremely attractive.
Ellen Barkin.
Ellen Barkin. Yeah, I loved her in that movie with Al Pacino.
Sea of Love.
Which one?
Sea of Love,
yeah. Yeah, that was great. Well, hold on a minute while I think about that.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. Also, Undercover Blues with Kathleen Turner. Played Jerry Lee Lewis in Great Balls of Fire in 1989.
He did a nice job with that role.
Mm-hmm. He and his brother Randy.
I really do.
Oh, yeah.
He and his brother Randy appeared on Broadway together. Played Doc Holliday in the movie Wyatt Earp in DOA.
Meg was in
Innerspace with Meg Ryan.
Yeah, and also Flesh and Bone, I think she was in that with him. And I say that because it says that here. I never even heard of that one.
Yeah.
Flesh and Bone.
I think that was out for about 3 days this past year.
Wow.
He is wiped out by an industrial film, a slide.
Yeah, Flesh and Steel Ingots.
Yeah, that's right. Well, The Romance of Bones, I think it was called. And, anyway, Dennis Quaid, let's start with you, Jack. You know, we'll start with you, Jack. How old is Dennis Quaid?
He's a few years older than Ms. Ryan.
Ms. Quaid.
Oh, Mrs. Quaid. Ms. Mrs. Ryan, you see, professionally. 43.
Really? Hmm.
Okay. And let's see. John, what do you think?
Let's try 36.
Let's try 36, says John. Okay. Carrie, what do you think? Is your father right, or are you going to give a totally different answer and put the old guy in his place?
I'll go with my dad this time, since we're just not doing too good anyways.
That's the spirit.
Less running the family.
I beg your pardon.
So your dad said 36. Do you want to stick with the
yeah, I'll go with my dad.
Same answer.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That must fill you with pride, John, that your daughter's going to go right along with what you said.
Actually, it doesn't.
You're one of those kind of guys. Doesn't fill you with pride.
I'm not too humble.
I see. Okay. Lynn, what do you say?
I think 38.
Lynn says 38. Okay, Emilio? I wonder if there are funny Dennis Quaid jokes that we won't understand.
No, I was going to make reference to a Quaidlude, but I figured I'd spare you, but then you prodded me to say it, so I said it.
No, that wasn't prodding. That was begging. Please don't say anything.
Yeah. But I was going to say 38, and she said 38, so I'll stay with 38.
Huh, 38. Okay. And Tony?
That was my answer, 38.
38, and Mary?
I'm going to go with 39.
Pardon me?
Did you say 39?
Yes.
Well, that's what I want to mark down is 39, you say. Because, you know, if you say 39, then I'll put that down.
Okay.
Gee, Jack has had a few too many tonight.
I did squeeze the old grapes there for a while, you know.
Tony, that's why we all said 38. Yeah.
Smashed up the Maxwell, but I had so much fun, you know. Anyway, Dennis Quaid is 40.
Oh, hey.
Let me see. So Mary said 39. The 30 line was right. Sweet. Yeah, she's now tied with Emilio. Oh, boy, there's a hush
here. That paints an interesting picture.
Yeah, that does. Yeah. No, I said she's tied with it. I didn't say she's tied to.
Oh.
I don't know what kind of S&M thing you're into, fella. Okay. Carl Perkins. His biggest hit, Blue Suede Shoes, was in 1956. The Beatles recorded some of his songs, including Honey Don't and Matchbox. Also, Blood on the Saddle, which was used as the theme music of a group of hemorrhoid surgeons at the Mass General Hospital. Oh, yes. And that is the most tasteless thing I think I've ever said on the air.
Wow.
I'm sorry I said that. Oh, if I could only take that back.
Man.
But then, okay. Okay, we'll start with, let's see, who we start with this time? We haven't started with Mary yet, so we'll start with you, Mary. Carl Perkins, an old country and western performer, Blue Suede Shoes.
Wrote things for the Beatles.
The Beatles also, well, of course, Elvis Presley did Blue Suede Shoes. Mm. Don't throw up on my blue suede shoes, I think is where the whole thing goes.
Oh,
or don't throw up while I sing this song because I don't like it either. Anyway, so much for my wild, ribald humor.
I'll go with 62.
62. Okay. And Lynn, what do you think? You can sing it. You want to sing out your answer?
Well, how about, I think he's maybe a tad older than that. Let's say, try 68 yet again. I haven't got one right yet, so I don't want to break my record.
68. You sound like a, listen, do you sing like you talk? You sound,
kind of nasty.
Oh, really? Oh, well, that sounds so nice.
When are you performing next?
Wow. You sound like, is the name of the woman who was, she was married to, may still be, to a songwriter. Wait a minute. She did the Cry Me a River.
Oh, Julie London.
Julie London, yeah. I mean, you got that kind of voice. Are you familiar with Julie London?
I am.
Do you sing like her?
She was Dixie McCall on the Paramedic show.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But she had that very wispy...
Emergency, right?
Emergency.
Yeah.
Jack has entirely too much time on his hands.
Well, her husband was Bobby Troup, who wrote Cry Me a
River. Right, Bobby Troup, that's right.
And wrote Route 66.
That's right, yeah. Fine performer. I met them both once. He was, that's a whole other story. I don't really care. But there was way back at the days of Blindstrom's. And
what?
There's a nightclub in the South Boston. Anyway, he was very nice, and she was a tough cookie. But that's beside the point. Do you sing like her, Lynn? I mean, that kind of wispy, sexy kind of...
I try real, real hard.
Oh, boy.
Real, real.
I'm really starting to sweat.
You got it.
Just me, or is it hot in here?
No, you have to appreciate the effort, Tony.
Mm-hmm. Jack, what do you think? How old do you think Carl Perkins is today?
Oh, I thought we were talking about Julie London.
No, I did get off the track there for a little bit.
Let's see. Carl Perkins, probably a little younger than... I'd say 65.
Okay, Carrie?
Come on, Carrie.
I'll say 63.
Okay, Emilio?
Well, Norm, I want to straighten something out. Do we have to guess how old Carl Perkins is or how old his hairpiece is?
How old his hairpiece is? It's actually the same age. He got the hairpiece the day he was born. It was a gift. Yeah, from an excited mother, as a matter of fact, gave it to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'll say 63, because that thing looks 63 years old.
Okay. And Tony...
This guy also had that animal show, right? That Mutual of Omaha.
What was that guy's name?
Marlon Perkins.
Something fishy about that, Marlon.
Right. He's
And then, of course, there was...
He's gone to the big safari in the sky, though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Marlon Perkins.
Yeah, yes, he did. I think it's also there was also another Perkins... Occidental's own Ma Perkins. That's right. Yeah, soap opera that lasted well up in the 50s.
And Anthony Perkins.
Is Anthony Perkins? That's correct.
Yeah.
Also
do you know what Anthony Perkins' favorite kind of toast is?
wheat.
Yes.
You know, now Marlon Perkins really screwed that other guy big time because he used to stay at the studio and look at the screen, and the other guy used to have to go fight the alligators.
You don't think that old poop is going to go out and risk his life for some lousy television show?
Hopefully, he was insured by Mutual of Omaha.
He was in good hands.
You can't say that about Jacques Cousteau, though. That guy's down there in the middle.
No, he's down there with the sharks.
Yeah, 111 years old, swimming about.
That's right, too. That's you recognize him by his blue shriveled up skin.
That's right.
That's right.
Jacques Cousteau's so old. His wetsuit is wrinkled.
He's always slapping his right ear, you know. Water squirting out of his nose.
That's right.
Anyway, Tony,
He even breathes. When he's not in the water, he walks around with a snorkel on a mask.
He's got gills.
That's right. That's not a mask. That's his nose.
It's in front of his head, yeah.
All right, he's Carl Perkins, right?
Carl, I think that's who we're talking
about.
All right,
67.
Yeah. 67. Why, it's a fun show, isn't it, huh?
Certainly is, especially when we don't even talk about the people we're talking about.
Okay. John, what do you think?
I was going to say 63, but I'll try 65.
65,
oh,
okay.
He trades his daughter.
Okay. The actually, Carl Perkins is 62, and that's Mary. It's Mary who said that. So Mary now leaps out into the lead.
She's running away with him.
Yeah, she's starting to. There's now daylight between Mary and Emilio, which is the way life should be, I would think.
Lou Holtz must have given her a halftime speech.
Is that right?
Emilio, that is correct, Jack. Yes.
Okay, Tom Lehrer, who's one of my favorite people. Well, he really is. Says that he's described here as funny, strange, and eccentric.
Well, there you go.
Wrote a song called Poisoning Pigeons in the Park. He wrote a number of satirical songs many years ago, and they've been put together in a songbook, and also they've been staged. I think the Charles Playhouse did Tom Lehrer's, I forget what they called it. But he used to do takeoffs, very funny takeoffs on political figures and things of the day. He did one on ecology when he said the food that they dump in the river at someplace.
Someone get sketch artist in here, please, because I have no idea what this guy's talking
about. I can't think of what that song is.
Does anyone know who he's talking about?
Tom Lehrer.
Tom Lehrer.
The political folk song singer of the mid-60s.
Okay. Just put out a name, Norm. I'll have someone else give me.
I asked him how come he's not. I said he wrote such great. He wrote a thing called the Vatican Rag.
Yeah.
Everybody, the Vatican Rag. Is that it?
Yeah, with the rosary beads and the whole thing, which some people call kind of sacrilegious. But it was kind of funny. Gee, and done in good spirit. Yeah. And he did one on Hubert Humphrey, but I can't remember how that one went. But I asked him not long ago, how come he doesn't do it now? Because he was so prolific. Well, he
when
just
did
turned
you ask
out one song.
When did you the
actually about? Actually, well, maybe it's about 5 years ago. we did.
You almost make it sound like you got off the phone with him yesterday.
I know. Well, I tend to. It seems that way when you get my age. Yesterday, 5 years ago, it's all the same.
It's just a yeah. certain type of. When you get old, you tend to embellish with the stories.
No, but actually, I did.
As time gets closer, can you imagine with the dating on milk? What time gets.
Hold on, I'm imagining. Don't hit us with too many thoughts at once. Okay, if you would, Jack, because we're still imagining and working on that one. But I had a recording date with Tom Lehrer. He was asked to do a special, was more than a song. It was a whole presentation by Polaroid when they were introducing a new camera. So he did it in that Tom Lehrer satirical style, and you had to sing it. Now, why they hired me to sing along with Tom Lehrer is kind of funny, because I never sang in my life. But his songs are the kind that's kind of fun to sing. You don't have to have a great voice or know how to sing. And there we were. I couldn't believe it. Here's my hero, Tom Lehrer, and we're in the recording studio doing this thing that he wrote specially for the Polaroid company, and I'm singing along with him. I wish I had a copy of that.
I don't.
It
would be funny after that experience, Norm. No one's ever really asked you to go back into the studio again, have they?
But I mentioned I saw Tom after that, and I call him Tom now. Anyway, he's from around here. He went to I think while he was going to Harvard, he wrote all this great stuff, and he said he reached his peak when he was just in college or right after that, and he wrote all the good stuff then, and he can't think of anything right now, which
no
is kind of funny. He teaches at the out in California, I think, just below San Francisco, a college out there. I forgot which one, but he's a math teacher, but he also gives a course in musical comedy in America, and he's a fascinating man. Anyway, let's start with you, Kerry. How old do you think Tom Lehrer is?
Make
this
good, Kerry.
What, Dad?
Make this good. We're getting shut up.
I'll say 69.
Oh. 69. Why was somebody going, huh? Okay.
Is that bad?
Yes, yeah. I think it was.
Oh the dad. Oh, I'll ask the dad, John, what do you think?
52.
Oh.
Oh, that was such a discouraged old Kerry. Mary, what do you say?
I say 56.
56. And Lynn?
54.
What do you think, Tony?
54.
And Jack?
Oh, 54.
Oh, and Amelia?
Can I change mine?
You want to change yours?
Can I?
Yeah, if you'd like to, sure.
What did my dad say?
Your dad said 52.
Yeah, but I haven't been right yet.
But then again, neither is Carrie, your daughter. So they...
Well, we have a losing streak. We'll stick together. I'll say 52.
52 also?
Yeah.
That is real loyalty. Amelia, what do you think?
I'll say 53.
53. I want to tell you, Kerry, that your loyalty really lost you that round because he's actually 66, and you said 69. You would have been the closest of all.
Norm.
You want to change your answer again, I suppose.
You shouldn't have let me change.
Well, I had let Tony change, so it didn't seem fair not to let you change, too, even though it was breaking my heart, Kerry, because I knew you were going the wrong way. I don't know. Let's see. Who did the 54?
The 54?
Oh, Mary. No, Mary said 56.
Oh.
So Mary actually came closest. And now
how old is he now? 62?
He's 66.
66?
Yeah.
Tony, you said that I was wrong.
What when?
No, somebody
Tony laughed at her. He
somebody seemed to make a comment.
Oh, no. That I believe, was your dad making that comment.
Somebody made a mockery of it, yes.
Okay.
Kerry, how many times have I told you not to listen to me?
Yeah, you never listen to your dad. You never listen to your dad any other time.
Why start now?
Yeah, so it's kind of silly to do it now. the man is crazed with drink. Anyway, let me give you another thing that requires a date.
Uh-huh. What did you say in the beginning of the show? No, something about dead people.
Oh, dead people. Yeah. A listener from New Jersey, I forgot, Fred, I guess. Fred.
Yep.
Was suggesting that we guess the dates of the year that the people who were born on this day died. And, all right, let's try that. W.C. Fields died on this date, on April 9th. No, he was born on April 9th. I'm sorry. What year did he die? This doesn't seem like much of a...
I like it.
You like the idea?
I think so. What year did he die?
Year did W.C. Fields? He was born William Duncan Field. You know that. That's where he got W.C.
Fields. Can you tell us what year he was born then, at least?
All right, I'll tell you what year he's born.
How did he get C out of Duncan?
Hey. And his middle, I forget what his middle name was.
Claude.
Claude, that's right. William Claude Duncan Field. Born in Philadelphia. He was born in 1880. Ran away from home at age 11 after an argument with his father and lived as a tramp for years. His self-imposed epitaph said, and I don't know if this is on his stone or not, it said, on the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia.
No, that was one of the, I'd rather be here than in Philadelphia.
No, it was said, no, I don't think so. He said, on the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia.
Oh,
Jack, yeah, no.
I suppose
I'd
if,
rather
you know,
be here than in Philadelphia.
No, he would rather be in Philadelphia.
Dead.
Than,
who really cares?
Yeah, no, he would rather be in Philadelphia than dead is what he was saying.
He's probably dust now anyways.
Mm, he hated
Philadelphia. Oh, Emilio, for God's sakes. He's probably dust now anyways. Come on. Okay, we're going to start with you, Emilio. I don't know why. Just to get you out of the way right away, quickly.
I'm going to say that being a rotund man who drank a lot, I'm going to say that W.C. Fields died early in his life. So he's born 1880, so that would make him 1932.
Okay. Jack, what do you say?
1952.
And Tony?
Oh, 53.
1953. Okay, Lynn, what do you say?
How about 1948?
Did I ever tell you about my meeting with the Bob and his lovely wife at the Glenn Blindstrom's? Okay, 1948. John, what do you think?
1947.
And Mary?
1956.
And what do you think, Carrie?
I was going to say 47, but this time...
Oh, don't believe me.
This time I won't. I'm going to go with 1954.
Okay. I can only tell you that you should have gone with 1947.
Wow.
Because actually it's 1946.
Wow.
So your father was just 1 year off, and he wins.
Finally.
That round, 1947. Nobody said 45, so we just have the one.
Huh.
John on that. Is that kind of interesting to determine when the year a guy died?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. So we're into
the anti-birthday game.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he was born on April 9th. Okay, we don't have time to do anymore. Oh, okay, so we'll get the address and stuff.
Can we cut off the news like we always do?
Mary, hang in there.
Yeah.
And we'll get your name and address and all that stuff and send you. Oh, we have junkie prizes. You know that.
I love that.
Okay, these are tasteless and worthless. Carrie, thank you.
Thank you, Norm.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, John. And good night,
Norm.
And good night, Lynn.
Good night.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that.
We had a whole bunch of people with great voices. This is beautiful. Great voices.
Oh, mm-hmm. And especially this time of the morning, I tell you. Tony, thanks.
You're so welcome, Norm. Thanks for having me on again. The guess the year the person whose birthday it was had died in was a challenge that fit perfectly with the show. I wish we did that more often. See you all next week for more madness. Closing the vault and leaving this world a little sillier than we found it. 4. Favorite cities. Crossing out the W. Turning your radio down. Massasoit College. Winning a Peabody. Winning a Norm Nathan Award. paying for it yourself. The life-size statue of Norm made from room-temperature pecan fudge. The Danvers, Woburn, and South Hadley Awards. Traffic reporters only. Light dawning on Marblehead. The Hubby Hubcap Award. Kiko in California. Salazar's Mexican Food. Fakakta Humor. Family Discord. Translating the producer's comments. Throat clearing. Stag Party's Sweetheart of the Month. Acceptance speeches. Looking as good as you sound. The award-winning industrial films Flesh and Steel Ingots and The Romance of Bones. Drunk Jack Benny. Mass General Hospital's Hemorrhoid Surgeons. Oxidol. Blue Suede Shoes. Old Wrinkled Wetsuits. Old Snorkel Nose himself, Jacques Cousteau. The Vatican Rag. Reaching Your Peak. Crazed with Drink. William Claude Duncanfield. The Anti-Birthday Game. Emilio Morata, Jack Hart, and the man who ruled Middleton, Mass. With an iron fist, entrenched town moderator, Norm Nathan. I'm Tony Nesbitt.
Excuse me while I clear my throat. I often do that when I'm on an intimate date. I clear it like that. Excuse me, honey. I'd like to kiss you and hold you in my arms, but let me clear my throat first, okay, baby?
Thank God we reinstalled
the protection. So that usually she leaves the hotel room and races back to her car. I wish I had a copy of that.
I don't.